Welcome to Filibuster. I am Judge David Johnson, currently battling a cold that's sneaking up and trying to punch my white blood cells in their face. But I'm okay right now. The voice is hanging in there. We recorded a little earlier this week for two reasons. At least for me, I was hoping I could, just in case my voice does go, we'd be able to get my melodic tones forever ingrained on this podcast. And number two, we welcome back one of our regulars has been MIA for a while, and that is Mike Rubino. Mike, welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hello. And the other guy he is referring to is Mac McIntyre. Mac, greetings.
I'm a guy.
Hey. You are. You've arrived.
You are. When I look Mac McIntyre up in the dictionary, it says guy.
Does it?
Yes.
Oh, very good.
Yes. So it's
Mac, are you responsible for that? Have you been, like, overloading the Google algorithms to point that?
Yes.
I hope to someday become the guy, but I don't know if that will happen anytime soon.
You'll have to get rid of all the other guys.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yes.
I mean, there's a movie I remember watching or buying for like $2 from a videotape liquidation sale called America 3000, I believe. And it was about women had taken over the world and there was like one man left or something like that.
That's an old sci-fi staple.
Yeah, yeah. So America 3000, I think that's what it is. Anecdote went nowhere, so let's move on. Mac, why don't you kick us off? What have you been up to this week?
What have I been up to? Not too much. Let's see. I've been catching up on some movies. They've been out for a while, but I'm just seeing them for the first time. Saw Predators, the new one.
Yep, right.
It was pretty much okay.
Was it better than Predator? Was it better than Predator 2?
That's tomfoolery.
Just tell me that.
You've got the can of worms in your hand. You've got the other hand on the lid. it was okay. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It was just kind of there.
This is a remake of Predator 1, is what it was.
Kind of. Well, you know, the characters and their situation was different, and so there was some things different there. For one thing, it took us a whole lot of time before the Predators actually showed up.
See, that's my main problem. Yeah. By this point, it's not a surprise who's behind all this,
right?
You know? Why drag out the suspense?
Well, I guess you could argue that they were doing character development, which is good, but, you know, that could have happened along the way while they were battling the Predators. I'll say that Topher Grace was actually really funny. He was cracking me up through the whole movie. So there was good to it, too.
All right. And what else? What else did you catch up on?
And what else did I catch up on? It was I've told you how I recently discovered the series Avatar: The Last Airbender. Just
yes.
Absolutely loved it. Well, I finally saw the Shyamalan movie version.
Oh, do tell.
Boy, it's just as bad as everyone says it is.
Like, what specifically is brutal about that movie?
Well, after really falling in love with the show, and the show is like so good, and then the movie comes along and just like gets everything wrong. That was just painful to watch. And it tries to do the entire first season in 2 hours. It's like, 12 hours worth of cartoon condensed into a 2-hour movie, and it lost a lot. So it's
was there a twist ending?
No, there was a set up the sequel ending.
Oh, that's the twist.
Is there a sequel coming? Yeah, that's a twist. Is there a sequel coming, you think?
I don't know. Maybe, but with a lot of negative buzz.
Or maybe that's the twist. There is no sequel.
The animated series is getting a spinoff in the fall, though. Looking forward to that, definitely. But yeah, this movie, boy, it was brutal. It was a painful watch. It was an endurance test.
Oh, sad to hear. Do you think, is this the final nail in Shyamalan's filmmaking coffin, you think?
I don't know.
I mean, he is producing things now. He's got that production company.
He's got his own production company, and his name is still as producer for a whole bunch of other movies. So,
right.
As for whether he'll direct again, I don't know. The idealist in me wonders if maybe he'll go back to his roots, do like a smaller film, or if he'll just completely break away from his mold and do something completely different that'll really surprise everybody. Or he'll just, he's gone Hollywood and he's lost his way. I mean, who knows? Yeah. I don't know him personally, so I can't really speak to that.
Gotcha. Now, let me ask you this, Mac. I forgot to ask you this last week. What were your thoughts? Maybe I did ask you, so pardon me if my short-term memory is down the toilet. But thoughts on the trailers for Thor, Captain America, and X-Men going to your...
Yeah. I know, Dave, you said you were really pumped for the Captain America Super Bowl ad.
I thought it was of the three that one appealed to me the most. I thought it was pretty interesting. I've always liked Chris Evans too, ever since Cellular, which to me is one of the most underrated movies in the last decade. But that's for another time.
Yeah, the Captain America the Super Bowl ad. Well, it's only like 30 seconds, but it
yeah right.
It didn't really wow me. Maybe it's just because we didn't see enough, you know, Cap action, but. It didn't blow me away. I was kind of looking for something more, and I didn't get more. So I don't know. But the Thor trailer, Dave, which is the one that you said you weren't pumped up by,
right?
That's the one that I look at and I go, yeah, this
really?
Is cool.
Ah, fascinating, because they released an extended version and it looked even dopier to me. Yeah. So I'm way off here. I don't know, like a Facebook joke is just really? I don't know. But who knows? I'll be willing to be proven wrong.
That one, but the one.
It's hard for me just to see how it fits into. I've always had a problem understanding how Thor and Asgard and all that stuff fits into the Marvel mythology. You know,
it is very strange, and like I don't know. It's this because if they're the gods of, that would mean that they're the gods of everything, right?
I mean, it'd be like having Jesus on the
right,
Avengers,
exactly.
Too,
like,
right?
That would mean that, like, if you're admitting that these gods exist, does that mean that, like, there are, I don't know, it's just very strange. Like, why don't they interact? Or are they regional gods? Do they only exist?
That might be regional.
You know,
yeah,
in Europe,
that's true.
Or something.
Now, the really brainy characters like Mr. Fantastic and Iron Man view
yeah.
Thor and the other Asgardians as highly advanced aliens.
Oh, really?
They appear to be as if they're like gods.
Is that the closest we come to, like, canon mythology type of explanation?
I don't know if that's the official explanation, but that's kind of what the characters have said they think.
So who's he fighting? I'm going to test my comic book geekdom. Is his archenemy Loki?
Yes.
Ah, nice. And does he appear in the trailer?
I believe so.
Briefly, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's kind of the guy standing off to the side of Anthony Hopkins with the creepy look on his face.
Yeah. I know it's part of the comics and everything. You can't change it. But his hammer, maybe his hammer just doesn't translate well on screen to me. It looks more like one of those kind of meat beaters or whatever.
Meat tenderizer?
Yeah, meat tenderizer.
I mean, I think,
which would be a great name for a villain.
Meat tenderizer. I think back to Thor's appearance in that Incredible Hulk TV movie.
Oh, that was classic.
Which I love. And he's basically, he looks kind of the same. In all honesty, like, and his hammer was just the same, but maybe because the Hulk was there, it translated better. He was sort of like a beach bum, wasn't he, in that movie?
He was. He was like really clueless. He knew nothing about Earth and stuff. Yeah.
But is anyone going to be able to eclipse Thor in Adventures in Babysitting?
I was wondering that.
Yeah, that would be hard to top.
That's like,
yeah.
To me, that is like the standard. Played by who plays him?
Was it?
Who was that? Vincent D'Onofrio or whatever?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
D'Onofrio,
yeah.
Yeah. Nice call, huh? Yeah, so they kind of filled out a little bit for Law and Order and stuff, but whatever.
Yeah, but the Thor trailer, though, it's like, I'll admit that the Asgard scenes look just a little off. I'm wondering if it's kind of maybe the blue screen backgrounds aren't finished yet, and we'll see the finished version on the screen. That's what I'm hoping. But all the Earthbound stuff looks really cool. You know, he's, you know, taking security guards and beat him over the head, and that Agent Coulson guy was really bringing it with the dramatic intensity. I mean, who knew he had it in him? So,
I think maybe it's just an ingrained bias. Maybe I've just tended now towards more quote unquote realistic types of action movies. You know, Captain America, whether you like it or not, at least it looks kind of grounded and gritty. Maybe, you know, maybe it won't turn out like that, but I could see where Thor could be fun. You know, for the fantasy and out of the worldness, but. Maybe it's just like the Dark Knight has just kind of bespoiled me.
Well, I think I've always been that way with superhero stuff, because it's like I've never been a Doctor Strange fan. I've never been a Silver Surfer guy. Anything that was like that took place in the supernatural or the fantastic or whatever just didn't interest me as much as a Spider-Man or the crime fighting stuff as opposed to the monster and god fighting stuff. I mean, my take on the trailers was that they all kind of – well, I agree with Dave that I'm the most excited about Captain America because I think I like him most out of those heroes. But it's like they all – none of them look any – they all look kind of cookie cutter, or maybe that's the trailer's fault, but like the trailers all follow the same exact beats, you know, like everything sort of looks the same, where here's like, here's just legions of SWAT team guys, legions of soldiers running, you know, and just getting beaten up, and it doesn't look like any of them have a specific unique style. They all just look like generic superhero movies. And maybe that's because none of them, I think, have crazy unique directors or anything like that. But it, or because Marvel's shaping them all to fit into this thing,
Avengers,
this
movie,
Avengers,
right?
Thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that's part of the like, it's a big, daring, bold decision for them to make, to like make all of these, you know, big, expensive movies over like 6 years and then fold them all together.
Who else is in the Avengers? In the Avengers movie?
Well, yeah, like the thing is, the Avengers movie already kind of fell, in my mind, is falling apart because they didn't get all the same actors. Because like the Hulk's in it, but Edward Norton's right. Not playing him.
Yeah.
And who else is in it? Iron Man, Nick Fury,
Thor, Captain America. Who else has traditionally been in the Avengers? I know it's probably swapped out a lot of members.
Yeah, the movie Avengers, I believe you got Iron Man, Nick Fury, Hulk, Thor, Captain America, and Black Widow from Iron Man 2.
Right. Okay.
And they're gonna Hawkeye is Jeremy Renner. Is that correct?
Oh yeah. Okay.
I don't know if they're gonna wait to introduce him in the Avengers movie or if he's gonna show up in either Thor or Cap. But we'll have to
wait. Is he bow and arrow guy?
Yeah. Oh. Used to be a criminal. Now he's a good guy. Yeah.
Right. Does he have powers or is he just a great archer?
He's got great archer and his arrows are various gadgets. You know?
So he's kind of like Batman, really, with a bow and arrow.
Oh, he's like Green Arrow with a bone arrow.
Oh, yeah, he's like Green Arrow with a bone arrow. But doesn't Green Arrow have some sort of power? Isn't he fancy?
Green Arrow's an archer.
No. Yeah.
No, he's just...
They're just a billionaire, right, who's rich and bored, I guess, and pretty good with a bone arrow.
You know, they make the best superheroes.
bored billionaires.
Rich,
they do.
Rich, bored dudes.
Yes. With money with disposable income.
Yeah.
What about X-Men First Class?
Yeah, I was pretty surprised to see how much they appear to be tying it into the first three X-Men movies. I thought this
looks very serious too.
I thought this was gonna be like a total reboot, but instead it's more of a prequel.
Yeah,
and that makes me a little nervous.
I think it's pretty. It's a weird decision to make, but it's. I at least liked it because it looked like a period piece, even though it really didn't look like the 50s or
something. Yeah, I agree with that.
Like,
right,
but like, it's not often that you see a period piece superhero film that isn't World War II, like Captain America. That's you know, sometimes
Magneto running around in tie dye and Birkenstocks, maybe. Would be...
Yeah, like that's a cool idea, I guess.
Speaking of Magneto, that guy's Michael Fassbender, who plays him. He's really kind of taken off. He was in Centurion, which I just watched for the second time today with a friend of mine, and I just saw he's like in another movie coming out. So I had only seen him for the first time in 300 as like one of the Spartan guys, but he's really kind of. I mean, that's a pretty big role for this guy to land.
Wasn't he in Inglourious Basterds? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
Well, perhaps I haven't seen it.
Oh, you should see that, Dave. It's good.
I know.
Yeah, you'd like that.
I haven't seen Shawshank Redemption yet, so what do you want from me?
So there.
Maybe we need to do one of our commentaries on Shawshank Redemption, even though it wouldn't be very funny.
Oh,
at least I can see it. All right, how about you, Mike Rubino? Anything to add? You've been off the grid for so long.
So long. You know, I had my tonsil surgery, which took quite a long time to heal from because it's made for children who have tiny tonsils, not adults. So that put me out of commission. Then I have just been seeing the world, not really, but right now I'm just sort of getting ready, I guess, for the Oscars this weekend.
Really? Is it this weekend?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's this Sunday, and I'm not really like, I mean, the Oscars or whatever, but I'm trying to at least see some more of the movies that everyone seems to be talking about. I've seen a lot of them, and I don't know if you guys. If I was around when, I guess not, but I would highly recommend The King's Speech. Have any of you seen that yet? Or talked about?
No, I've heard so many excellent things about it, of course.
Yeah, I'd like to see it, but just haven't gotten around to it. Yeah.
It was one of those things where going into it, I was kind of worried that it would be boring. I mean, it's a movie about a dude stuttering, but it was actually pretty good. And a very...
Spoiler alert, right?
What?
Spoiler warning, dude stuttering?
No, it's I think that's fairly well known.
Like the premise, right? That's
you never know who are listening.
It's audience. So if you're out, if you're the kind of moviegoer who only judges a movie by its title before you see it, then I just spoiled the movie. The cake speech has a stutter. But yeah, so I guess my question then for you guys, if you care at all about the Oscars, is which do you have any bets on Best Picture or anything like that?
I'd go with King's Speech probably. It smells like it'll win.
It smells like it.
Yeah, it's got a lot of the momentum. I don't know how these things work, but it feels like
– yeah.
I'm assuming they work much like the NFL playoffs, whereas the team with the most momentum tends to win. So I'm going to go with that.
Yeah. It's
interesting because before they announced the nominations, everyone was just certain that Social Network would win. But then right. King's Speech showed up with more nominations than Social Network. And so now it's kind of up in the air again. It's like, wow, that's like a pro wrestling type of plot twist, you know.
That's true.
You think it's going to end one way, but then there's a sudden surprise, and then the match could go either way. So it reminded me of, you know, pro wrestling.
Nice.
And, you know, I was surprised with how many nominations True Grit got, because it was a really cool movie, but I was also just
right.
I didn't think much beyond that. But I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing probably Black Swan or King's Speech. As much as I want Inception to win, I realize that that's like
right. geek. Not happening.
Yeah, that's like a geek movie shot, awesome, yeah. and that's it.
Nolan will probably have his day at the Oscars, but I don't think it's going to be for this one.
Yeah, you know, will it be? The question is, will it be like one of those "we owe you this" Oscars, like Scorsese got, or will it be for something legitimately good?
That's true. Nice, very good. Yeah, not much happening around here though. The big non-movie news is that Carmelo Anthony has signed with the New York Knicks. So I don't know if that means anything to anybody, but no. It means a lot to me. Okay. No. But that's really about it.
How are the Knicks doing?
They're above 500, but this is a major shakeup, so we'll see.
Yeah. Do they at least have all the players that they started the year with in terms of injury-wise?
Injury-wise, yes, but they sent half their team off for the trade for Carmelo Anthony.
Oh. So
it was a huge day. It was huge. It was a huge moment. So, yeah, but we'll see what happens. But beyond that, nothing else really going on. I'm trying to think of stuff that I've watched or no TV show. I mean, I think, you know, I will say, Mac, and we've talked about this. I think we're pulling the plug on House.
Yeah, I
we're behind. You know, there's like 200 or 300 on our DVR. I'm just not feeling it. So
yeah, I bailed on House. Yeah.
Yeah. So that might be that. Well, on that sad news, let's move into what we've been working on. Mac, what do you got?
Working on for the site?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or for around the house.
I'm dusting. yeah, this movie, I'm not even sure how to describe it. Well, actually, you know, I know I said before that I was done with anime. I said, no more anime, right? You can see where this is going. Because I've got one of the new, like, this is kind of the people are talking about this is like the next big thing in anime. It's the new craze. Well, not really craze, but it's like it's really popular. It's not a series. It's a standalone movie. It's called Summer Wars.
All right.
And boy, I'm not even sure how to describe it. It takes place in the near future, where there's this online network that kind of evolved out of the internet. It's called Oz, and basically it runs everything, and everybody is hooked into it, and it makes life better for everyone, etc. You know, it's kind of a Facebook on steroids, maybe, because everyone's got their avatar and it's all virtual, and you know you can shop, you can game, etc. You know, it's the ultimate internet experience, right? And then as soon as this is introduced, it's pushed to the side so we can do a whole bunch of like romantic comedy shtick, where this girl hires a guy to pretend to be his boyfriend at the family reunion so she won't be embarrassed about not having a boyfriend. And so after sitting through a whole bunch of that comedy stuff, then all of a sudden the internet is under attack and everyone's identities are being stolen and all the nuclear weapons are being armed, and this family at their family, you know, family reunion in the middle of the countryside, they're the ones, you know, they're the only ones who can save the world by going online to this is a really hard movie to describe.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm really drifting off here. I think I'm fighting the effects of a cold.
It's like the Matrix, guys.
I'm not sure I'm going to run out and put that on the Netflix queue, Max. No offense.
You know, it's – yeah, I talked about before, but, you know, the stuff that's just, you know, packed. And there's like 6 hours worth of movie in this 2 hours. You know, it's there's so many characters and there's so many crazy things going on all at once that it's just – it's like by the time the movie's over, you're just exhausted. You feel like you ran a marathon. I will say this, though. As far as the visuals, the animation, the eye candy is just off the charts. This is just – the visuals, it'll just take your breath away. Absolutely just stunning, just gorgeous animation. So my recommendation is to actually put it on the rental queue just to check out the visuals, because you'll just be amazed.
All right. And maybe turn off the sound and then just listen to, like,
yeah. Also, there's
some old Collective Soul or something while you're watching it.
The movie also has a giant rabbit that does kung fu, so there's that too.
Excellent. All right. Nice. Mike, how about you?
Well, let's see. I'm working on the there's a TV show, a cartoon from the late 80s, early 90s called Cops. COPS.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I've got...
The reissue, right? I think I had tackled that one when it first came out.
Oh, good. Yes, this is the Mill Creek version, which for those unfamiliar with, Mill Creek has sort of a deal with Shout Factory, where they license series is from Shout Factory and sell them super cheap without any special features, and usually the packaging is lame or they're in paper sleeves.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. I hate those little paper sleeves.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I did the Dungeons & Dragons one, and I don't remember. I might have done a couple other ones, but yeah, the Mill Creek ones are cheap, but, you know, that said, if you are like me and you have a nostalgia for cartoons you might have watched as a child, it's a very cheap way to realize that nostalgia is misplaced.
Yes.
And, you know, it's like it's a fun cartoon, I guess. It might be the ugliest cartoon I've ever watched. Like, these characters are hideous.
Yeah. Buttons McBoom Boom. That's one of their names.
Yes.
Buttons McBoom
Buttons
Boom.
Buttons McBoom Boom.
Is he the one that has a machine gun that falls out of his chest?
You might be right. I'm trying to think of the other names. I have them written. I was, like, writing them down for a while.
Hardtop, Mace, I'm reading from my review here. Mirage, Long Arm, Dr. Highway, Madlock, Barricade, Bullseye, Misdemeanor, Bowser and Blitz.
Yeah. Okay, I clearly have to read your review before I write mine, so we're not redundant.
Berserko. Misdemeanor.
Yes, Misdemeanor.
Dr. Bad Vibes.
It is just – it's like – it was one of those things where, like, if you watch, say, early season of G.I. Joe or early season of Transformer, you're just like, man, this is cool. And you don't really think about the toys. You're not really thinking
right.
that there are toy opportunities here, even though they're there and the toys came first or whatever. But, like, you watch this, and from the get-go, from the very beginning, you're like, holy crap, this is just – there's a reason these characters are big, clunky, and plastic-looking in the animation, because guess what? They're toys. Like, everything about this is a toy, and the stories are interesting or whatever for, like, about a minute.
Did you watch the episode Baby Bad Guy yet?
No, but now this
– I don't recall it, but I'm just, again, looking at my review. Apparently, it features a trio of criminals – with baby-sized bodies and middle-aged man heads.
Nightmare fuel.
Yeah. Seriously. Now, this is going to be the 10 best episodes, but here's the catch.
Oh, okay.
It's supposed to be the 10 best episodes. But because this is Mill Creek, I assume, that's not the disc that's in the that came with the package to review.
Sweet. Nice. So what do you got instead?
Well, what's in there is it says the best of Cops, but it's like – from what I can tell, it's just a disc from, like, volume one of the series. So they're not selected. It's just, here's 10 episodes in a row from, like, the middle of the series. It's not even the-
Maybe that was when they were on a real critical, you know, and creative high. You know, they just whipped out 10 straight
awesome
episodes.
10 amazing episodes. It's like the first season of Twin Peaks. There's every episode you don't want to miss. And from what I could tell on Amazon, like, someone was complaining on Amazon about it. Like, it must be disc 2 or 3 of volume 1 But yeah, it's like episode 20 something. And so I can't even, I mean, some of the episodes are all right, but some of them are just stupid beyond belief. One is literally, is like Encino Man, where a caveman is woken up, the case of the cool caveman, and is woken up and let loose in the city. So it's, you know, and as a kid I had all these toys, and it was like crime fighting time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And now it's just, it's just weird. It's just an ugly, hideous show.
Yeah.
There's, I'm like, if you were like me and you were just nostalgic about it, this is perfect. It's 10 episodes. They're not random. They're in an order. Like, yes. You know, Mill Creek sells,
preserves the mythology.
Exactly. And Mill Creek sells it for like $9.99. So it's like, here's $10 to get a, to realize that the show, here's $10 to realize you watched crap as a child. I mean, it's no Knights of the Round Table.
Well, what can be?
What can be, for sure. Really. So.
Nice. All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. We'll definitely have our cop spaces covered with your review when it comes
That's
up.
That's right. So. No show has been covered by the
so extensively as cops, correct? Well, let me just tell you about a little movie called How I Married My High School Crush. It's a Lifetime movie from 2007, starring Katie Sackhoff from Battlestar Galactica. And the movie opens up set in 1990, and Katie Sackhoff plays 17-year-old, whatever her character's name was, because I forgot. And she, like, for the first 15, 20 minutes, she's pretending that she's, like, the 17-year-old high school student. And she's got to be in her 30s, right, I think?
Probably.
Here's the plot. She meets up with her crush, this football guy, at the gym, where she's going to give him the homework that she did for him. And there's a solar eclipse, and she wishes on a star that she can marry him. And they both time travel 17 years into the future. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And their wedding date. But they're still 17-year-olds in their head. So it's very much like Big.
Okay.
You know? And she's running for lieutenant governor, and he's an investment banker who's about to get shagged by the SEC. And they learn some valuable lessons, and they time travel back. And that's it.
I guess
ridiculous.
It could be
terrible. Yeah, terrible. So terrible.
Wow.
So terrible. So I got nothing else to add to that. So
Katie,
let's move on.
She's not smoking cigars and punching guys.
No, that's the one nice thing. It's like she's out of her character, so that's pretty good.
Is that the actress that was in 24?
Yes, that's true. Dana Walsh.
Right? Yes.
Okay.
She made her bones in Battlestar Galactica. It's a tough Starbucks. So I will give her, at least in this movie, I actually believe that she doesn't use a men's urinal when she pees. All right, Mac, why don't you take us to our next segment?
Sure thing. Let's take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com. We're going to click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. We're going to go to the cover art gallery for March 1st. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. And yep. Then we're just going to talk about what's on the list here, and you at home can play along.
There's Faster, the Dwayne Johnson movie that I reviewed for the site, and promptly forgot about when I submitted the review. So at least it's better than the Tooth Fairy or whatever kid's crap he was up to before.
There's 127 hours.
Right.
Oh, nice.
And The Greatest Games of the Pittsburgh Penguins, Volume 2.
Oh, is that on tap for...
I don't know. We'll have to ask Chief Justice.
Oh, that's a lot of discs there.
Yeah.
5 discs, huh? Ooh.
Yeah, well, you figure... I don't think they could fit more than one game on a disc.
That's true, right. That's true. Uncut.
Uncut. At the very top here, there's a great series called the 5 Steps of Study Skill Success series.
Oh, yeah, you familiar with that?
No.
Okay.
But, you know, there's how to concentrate while studying, how to take effective notes.
That's good.
Yep.
You need a whole DVD to teach you how to concentrate?
Step 1, turn off the DVD.
What if you can't concentrate on the actual DVD?
Bambi, is this a re-release, or what is this?
It's debuting on Blu-ray, right?
Yeah, right.
Now, I don't know if there's some kind of instructional DVD here. It's Kung Fu Body Conditioning.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
The cover art is the two guys in the Kung Fu poses, except one of them is on stilts.
We have a lot of access to those kinds of that kind of equipment. You know?
Sweep the leg.
That's right.
Oh, this is from maybe from the same series as the note taking stuff. There's careers for teens, water quality profession.
Awesome. That looks great. That is a DVD release of the week.
They want to test some water.
There's also scientists for disabled teens. I mean, where do you actually apply for a job like that? You know, is that, do you type that into Craigslist? I'd like to apply for scientist for disabled teens. Don't you typically need like some kind of specialty if you're a scientist?
Well, are you sure you're not just disabled and you want to be a scientist?
The title just doesn't make any grammatical sense.
No, it doesn't. It could go either way.
Maybe science for disabled teens.
Yeah, it's a scientist who helps the disabled. Yes. They're for the disabled teens.
Right. But it doesn't really clarify what kind of scientist, you know?
I don't know.
Not saying disabled teens can't use the knowledge of a scientist, but...
There's Love and Other Drugs, which I didn't see, but it was filmed in Pittsburgh, so...
Nice, give a shout out. That. I can tell. Cover.
You can tell right off the cover. That's Pittsburgh.
That's right. The wood paneling. Wood paneling. I don't know. Whatever. Not a whole bunch more interesting stuff. So let's just go on. Inadvertently sees on a DVD release of the week. Mac, go ahead.
I guess I'll go back to Scientist for Disabled Teens.
Aw, yikes. I feel oddly dirty about that. Mike.
127 hours.
Very good. Very good. Pop goes Thomas. All right. Home stretch. Let's wrap this sucker up. This is Ambush Topics, where Mac, Mike, and I have just random topics we'll throw at each other. I'll go first, gentlemen. Sitcom, family you'd least like to be a part of?
I think Married with Children. Because I didn't really watch that show as a kid, and I mean, it also just looks disgusting. Like, it looks like they live in squalor.
They do, yeah.
They do, and that's it's right. Just like, I don't want to live in that disgusting house. That's really what it comes down to, is I just think that they need to clean.
Plus all the verbal abuse and neglect.
Yeah,
right?
Well, yeah, that's a big part of it, too.
And the potential of catching some kind of communicable disease.
I mean, maybe, what I'm saying is maybe if they vacuumed, I would put up with the abuse.
You know what would be the worst part of living in that family is just the riotous laugh track that would accompany everything you say.
Yeah, every time Al walks through the door, everybody cheers. Yeah,
that'd be too much, right? Or yeah, too much.
For me, let's see. How about the Costanzas from Seinfeld?
Yes, that'd be awful.
That'd be a pretty hard house to live in.
Though you'd get kicked out if you just had sexual intercourse in their bed.
That's right.
Right.
Or what was it like if you used your body as if it were an amusement park?
Yes, that's true. I'm surprised you guys didn't go with the obvious. The Winslows from Family Matters. You know why? Because their kids mysteriously disappear.
That's right.
Nobody asks any questions. No? You'll have a sister, and you know, one day you'll have her, and the next day she's gone. And no one asks why that is. You know, very mysterious.
There's not she went to college or she's off at camp or
just gone away. Like someone went back to the future and you know, like rubbed her out or something. Like married her mother and rubbed her out or something. I don't know. Yeah, totally gone. Maybe shoved into the crawl space, Steve Urkel's crawl space, never to appear. All right. Mac, go ahead, what do you got?
All right. I just mentioned the Kung Fu Rabbit from Summer Wars. And also, happy Chinese New Year. It's Year of the Hare.
All right,
so,
very good.
So our topic is simply rabbits. And we can include hares and bunnies and other various forms of lepidoptery.
Oh, nice.
Okay, I will go with the very easy answer here, which would be Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh, that's good. I thought you were going very, very easy one. The middle school nerdy study hall. Yes, but continue on.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, so Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which is...
That's good.
Which is an amazing movie. And,
it is.
You know, it's one of those ones where, like, they wouldn't probably make it that way today, you know, or it wouldn't be as impressive if they made it today or released it today.
Right.
Because of all of the CG and the computer stuff that they would be able to do that actually... it feels, for some reason, that cartoon interacting with that detective feels real to me.
And so much of it was practical, you know.
Right, so much. Exactly.
Everything he grabs and touches and moves around, that's all practical effects.
Yeah, and even like the animations feel like they have weight and that they're actually like standing in that space and the shadows and everything. Like it's, yeah, it's, I don't know.
Is that nominated for an Academy Award?
I don't.
Maybe for some specialty.
I feel like it should have been.
Effects or something, but yeah, I don't know.
It's also like terribly violent at the very end. Like I watched it all the time as a child, but it, boy, is it. Okay,
yeah, Christopher Lloyd takes it hard.
Yeah. When he gets run, it won 3 Oscars. So there you go.
Oh, nice.
For best sound effects, visual effects, and editing. So,
even those are the Oscars for like your movie's awesome, but we couldn't possibly give a best picture to a movie about a talking rabbit. You know,
exactly. And so it's weird. Sometimes I'm like, man, Robert Zemeckis needs to make movies with people in them again. But then I realize that he made this movie, and they're like, oh, he's been making movies that mess around with this stuff for a long time, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they just didn't have dead, haunting eyes. Just like they do
yes.
Beowulf.
Right. Well, I guess I'll go with a middle school study hall nerdy one, and that's the Killer Rabbit from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So I had nothing else to add to that, just because I'm definitely not doing reciting Monty Python lines in a butchered British accent.
Oh, thank you.
Because that to me is when humanity has reached its low point.
That is something that would happen in high school.
That would. Terrible. So that's the kind of thing, if I were dating a girl who started doing that, the relationship would be over. Can't get past that. All right, Mac, what do you have?
Let's see. Well, you guys didn't go for it, so I'm going to go with Night of the Lepus. Or Lepus.
Yes, right.
The famous monster movie. You know, back in the 50s and 60s, there was the giant animal craze, you know. You had giant bugs, giant spiders, and them, you had the giant ants. So some very clever filmmaker decided, hey, let's do giant rabbits.
Right.
And so you had the small town was being attacked and overrun by rabbits the size of houses. And, yeah, not very scary. They still look pretty cuddly even when they were smashing up cars.
That's right, even as big as they are. And I'm someone who believes anything made gigantic is automatically terrifying, but the rabbits seem to really, even like the toddler from Honey, I Blew Up the Kid was kind of creepy. All right, Mike, what do you got?
All right, facial prosthetics.
Facial prosthetics.
Yeah, fake stuff. Even if it's not spelled out as fake, clearly somebody's wearing fake stuff on their face.
All right.
And I want to make sure I have just the right movie here.
Oh, nice. I'm looking. Build up.
He's pulling out the scalpel.
All right, I'm going to go with The Pink Panther Strikes Again, where good old Inspector Clouseau is in disguise as the dentist at the end of the movie, and he's wearing all that goop on his face to disguise him. But it starts getting like I'm not sure what the gag is, but it starts getting really hot in there or something, and it all starts like gets all slimy. It starts like dripping off of his face and stuff. it's funnier than how I'm describing it. But
you could say that sentence about most Peter Sellers things. I'm not sure what the gag is, but crazy stuff starts happening.
I don't know if this counts technically, but to me, like the greatest head/face prosthetic I've ever seen, where the devil horns on Tim Curry's noggin for Legend.
Oh yeah, I'll give it.
Unbelievable. Just
those things are gigantic.
It's gigantic. I mean, I don't know how he did it. But.
I don't know how he gets through doorways.
That's right.
Puts on
or rides roller coasters.
Yeah.
Was it ever established that he was Satan or not? Was he not Satan? Was he just like the Dark Lord of Darkness or something?
Yeah, I think he's
no Judeo-Christian undertones.
He's supposed to be like pure evil. Is that it?
Yeah. All right. Well,
yeah, I don't know. It's a good question.
All right.
My answer came from my most recently reviewed film that I turned in. That was the Mystery Science Theater version of the incredibly strange creatures who stopped living and became mixed-up zombies.
Mac, are you familiar with that one as well?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, it's a classic. But it's an awful, awful movie. like literally one of the worst ever. But there's a character, and he's like this henchman guy named Ortega, and he's clearly wearing like a fake face or like a fake nose and brow and mustache, and he's chin maybe even. He's supposed to be this like old gypsy guy, and he doesn't really talk, and he just sort of bumbles around and kills people. But oddly enough, it looks to me like he's got more fake prosthetics on his face than the actual zombies in the film, which end up just being like people with some goop on their cheeks. But yeah, it's a terrible movie, and you can't really hear or understand anything that's going on. But Ortega has basically a fake face in it, so there you go.
All right. Doesn't Ortega make chili? Or
yes, yes.
Chili wraps or something?
It is a brand of Mexican food.
Very good. Nice. Well, way to add the multicultural angle.
Ortega showed up quite a few times on the Satellite of Love during the sci-fi years.
Yeah, he is sort of like the Torgo of years.
Whenever they needed a fourth villain, suddenly Ortega would show up out of nowhere.
Nice.
Oh, and by the way, Tim Curry played Darkness in Legend.
Darkness, all right. And he had hooves and everything. And he looked exactly like Satan from South Park. All right, well, that is it for the Friday Filibuster. Thank you for hanging with us. We appreciate it. Friday Filibuster at DVDverdict.com is our email address. Facebook.com/Friday Filibuster is our Facebook address. Thank you, Mac. Mike, Mac, take it away.
Papa Mau Mau.